Welcome to IO Talks. My name is Raymond Franken, Head Investment Officer Luxembourg. I'm in Amsterdam today with Joachim Nahem, the CEO of Position Green, an Oslo-based company specialized in ESG software and ESG advisory. Joachim, you've been around here at the conference for some time already. Are you seeing a lot of fear of greenwashing in the industry?
I think we certainly have the past year seen it sort of pivot from green euphoria to some green fear. And I think this greenwashing concern is both a positive and a negative driving force. On the positive side, it obviously has to do with that we need to regulate this space. You can't have fund managers or anyone for that matter running around and offering what they call green products or green services without there being some kind of definition of what green is. Or else everybody can claim to do it without actually having proper credentials on climate and environment. So I think on the one hand, you know, the regulators have it right. And obviously when you have German police raiding offices on the basis of greenwashing or selling products that were supposedly not green, that gets people's attention. So I think the finance industry more broadly, whether alternatives or public or private equity, has certainly been made aware of this.
You're referring to the WDS raids last summer. Indeed. Since then, we've also seen a wave of reclassifications of funds under the EU Sustainable Finance Disclosure Regulation. Article 9 is not always as green as it should be. Those funds go to Article 8. There's also a report out this week at iShares at BlackRock saying that there's going to be hundreds of reclassifications. So the green fund industry is really not as green as it's supposed to be. Is that a problem or an opportunity?
So I think it's both. It's on the one hand, you know, we're seeing exactly like the market otherwise going from bullish to bearish when it comes to green, that you're more apprehensive, you're not taking the same bets, and you're not as bullish, for example, in the classification of funds in Article 9. And understanding also that Article 8 itself is quite onerous in terms of getting things right on ESG, especially when it comes to reporting. As you mentioned, the SFDR is a pretty heavy regulation, which generally I think most companies are not entirely prepared for. So just getting that part right is extremely important. But the downside, or the where maybe a negative thing, is that we still need investors to want to sort of push the limit here and take, you know, more risk in investing in climate solutions here. So the downside will be that maybe they say, oh, you know, we're not going to make this investment in this particular company or this particular fund, which is green, because we're afraid of it being greenwashed or accused of greenwashing. So you sort of have the opposite here, where it becomes a apprehension or not wanting to speak about the green, and thereby investing less in the solutions and less in basically a green industry that we need. The green transition needs capital, and that is what the regulators and policymakers are saying everywhere. So it's about getting this right, striking the right balance. And we may have pivoted too far.
Let's focus on private equity, alternative investments for a moment. It's clear from the conference this morning that there was a lot of talk. We heard some GPs also talking about the selection criteria for the funds that they want to invest in. ESG seems to be quite on top of mind of, for instance, pension funds. How is that going in the industry?
I think generally when we speak about ESG, there is some confusion whether we're speaking about ESG transparency and ESG impact, right? So most of the regulation requires you just to be transparent. It says you have to put forward climate accounting, you have to disclose on climate risk, do you have assets that may be potentially impacted by climate change and climate regulation? And on human rights, are you transparent about your supply chains and the potential harm done to workers or people in your supply chains? So that side of transparency is very important, but this applies to all companies. And this is where it gets a little bit confusing when one speaks about sort of ESG companies or ESG industries. ESG applies to all companies everywhere. Whether you have a sustainable business model and you have a sort of net positive impact, that's slightly different. That's sort of the next step from being transparent. But for funds to be able to make those decisions on whether this is a impact or a just a meets minimum requirements on ESG, all companies have to disclose similarly on sustainability or ESG, if you like. So I think the first level is to sort of get more transparency, more apples and apples and more bananas and bananas, and when we talk about climate and human rights. And then based on that, investors can use this information differently. So pension funds that you mentioned will typically have more of a, often a broader investment universe and criteria that will exclude certain asset classes or certain types of companies and industries. While impact funds obviously have a more narrow definition that they can only invest in companies that have a very clear evidence of positive impact, not just not doing harm. So I think this concept is still not entirely absorbed by the industry, and we conflate sometimes ESG and sustainability. But generally, pension funds are a very important driver because this is, you know, the ESG strings attached to the capital basically go through the entire industry. If you start with the large pension funds and you trickle down to the PE or the GPs and the PEs, or if it's fund and fund or VCs at the end, there are strings attached. There are ESG reporting strings attached.
We've been seeing in recent months also increasingly that funds that had an ESG or sustainability profile in the United States are increasingly under pressure. BlackRock having difficulties in Florida, Republican states, not only there, but also other funds, other businesses. Are we seeing a divergence between the United States and Europe in terms of ESG approach in the funds market?
I think it's a little bit more nuanced than that. You're seeing a divergence in the United States. So in the same way one speaks about blue and red states in the US, when it comes to sort of culture or politics, you're seeing the same on ESG, because there's a lot of talk about Florida and Texas anti-ESG, but often California and New York and other states that have pro-ESG legislation is left out of it. So like with many other things in the United States now, it's a very divisive climate. So you have certain states which look a lot like Europe. California, in many ways, goes further than certain European states in terms of their requirements to manage their pension funds, while obviously Texas and Florida has gone the other way. So I think there is divergence, but with some more nuance.
How is that discussion affecting the discussions that you have with your clients at Position Green?
So I think, you know, you spoke about greenwashing to begin with. Now there's also green hushing as a concept, meaning that both companies and investors are afraid to speak about their green credentials because they're afraid to be called out. That fear is both from a regulatory perspective that, you know, saying it's an Article 9 and it may not be an Article 9, but also because it's coming in the crosshairs of politics. So in the US, a lot of PE or a lot of investment funds are afraid of being too vocal on ESG because they just don't want to end up in the middle. So this year, Larry Fink's annual letter, which has become a hallmark for the ESG industry, if you like, actually didn't mention ESG. He didn't use the phrase for that exact reason.
So what does that mean for your clients?
No, I think it means that they still have to do this because the regulation is there. And this is really where we need to separate between noise and substance. So there's a lot of noise, the way we see it, on ESG, especially in the US. But both regulators and customers are demanding this information. So whether you are a supplier to the software industry or oil and gas, or process industry, the big players demand that you have ESG credentials. You will not win a contract without them. In the same way that regulators, both in Europe and now most likely in the US through the SEC proposed rules, will require companies to disclose on this. So they have to do it, and they are doing it, but they're maybe not speaking so loudly about it as they were before.
We heard a private equity and venture capital conference. Your business is based in Oslo, Position Green. How is your business coming along? What kind of services are you offering? And why are you specifically interested in private equity and venture capital?
So I sit in Oslo and we're incorporated in Oslo, but we actually have our largest offices in Malmö, in Sweden, and we have offices in Copenhagen, in Stockholm, and we recently opened offices in New York, Houston, and London. So we're expanding very quickly globally, and we're following a lot of our customers into new markets. And they're actually asking us to be, for example, in the US. And we have many private equity customers, and they in particular use our software reporting, our investment monitoring, which allows funds such as HG Capital to report as a fund to their LPs, but also enables their portcos to provide them with this ESG information. So ESG is also very much about quality of information, like it is on financial data, and it needs to be more traceable, it needs to be more better managed. It doesn't have the same rigor that you have with finance data, but the regulation requires that you take this very seriously. And eventually you're going to have assurance of this, whether you are privately held or publicly held. You need to be able to basically open your books to auditors or to someone else and say, yes, we can vouch for your GHG protocol disclosures. Yes, what you're saying on human rights is correct. And this is also how we avoid greenwashing. So we work very much with private equity who realizes this is going to be the standard, so we better get busy now.
So all against the backdrop of EU regulation, we're waiting for a discussion on the future of the greenwashing debate in the European Union this summer. That's coming up. There's going to be some consultations as well. Over the next few years, the rules for companies in terms of green reporting will become far more stringent, also expanding to the smallest types of companies. How is that? That seems like your business is well placed in terms of helping funds and assess the situation.
So we're private equity owned, so obviously someone saw that this was indeed a growth business and a growth industry, if you like, because the numbers are there. The European legislation is eventually going to hit more than 50,000 companies just in Europe, and from that you're going to have thousands more as suppliers, and in the US potentially the SEC will make reporting mandatory for 10,000 listed companies, and it's going to obviously have ripple effects across industries. And you're also seeing other markets from Hong Kong to Australia to the UK where you have similar ESG regulation taking place. So for our business, this is a very good thing, but we are very conscious also of helping this become more tangible for companies and trying to navigate. We often speak about the ESG jungle because it is a jungle of initiatives. Some are voluntary, some frameworks are voluntary, some are regulatory, some are bespoke. And I think when it comes to the private equity space, we're also seeing a lot of the LPs and the pension funds, you know, they have their own survey, their own ESG demands, and it's not consolidated. So it becomes very resource intensive and very taxing for GPs and also for portcos to report. So we're trying to streamline things. We're trying to simplify it for everyone involved, investors and companies alike.
Okay, thank you very much, Jonathan. This was Raymond Franken at IO Talks, Investment Officer Luxembourg, talking to Joachim Nahum, the CEO at Position Green. Thank you, goodbye.
Good to be with you.